Okay, let's pray. Father, we commit this time to you that even as we look into your word, we ask of your Holy Spirit to unpack your word, speak to us personally, bless our time here so that we will leave this place edified, encouraged, strengthened, blessed to be a blessing to others. Help us, we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I changed the topic. I was supposed to speak on another topic about 3-4 weeks ago. I thought I would just wrap up this whole blessing campaign by going back to basics as to the call to discipleship. But before that, I thought I want to comment on a couple of things. Let's read Isaiah 60, verse 1 to 3, all right? On the count of 3. 1, 2, read. Arise. Okay. Many of them questions are asked to what's happening in the world and how do we make of it in the light of scriptures. And I just want to remind all of us that ever since Adam and Eve rebelled against God, there was the beginning of the deterioration of man's relationship with God and the beginning of the deterioration between man's relationship with man and the environment and the atmosphere and so on and so forth. And it reached a sort of a climax during Noah's time, all right, in Genesis 6, where God saw the violence on the earth and the wickedness and evil of men. And God provided a way of salvation. He told Noah to build the ark. And so as we go through the last 6,000 years of this earth, it's always the darkest of times and then the salvation of God, the best of times. The other thing we know from this scripture is that darkness will increase, which means that evil and wickedness will accelerate. So we've not seen such evil and wickedness, they were in the past, but it's going to accelerate and it's going to get worse and worse and worse. But the light in the church is going to shine, is going to get brighter. The power of God, the presence of God is going to be greatly manifested in the end times. The glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles will see your light and the brightness of your rising. About 3 weeks ago, I was preaching in this church, in this other church. And even before I began to preach, at the end of the worship, the senior pastor came forward and gave an altar call. He said, some of you are here, you're burdened, and you want to receive Jesus into your heart. Every head bowed, and if there's any one of you, 6 hands were raised. They were asked to the front. He led them in a sinner's prayer. And they pray to receive Christ. We are in revival times. We are in revival times. I remember Pastor Rick Seward, our camp speaker last year, he said that when his parents first came to Singapore as missionaries, I think it was in the 40s or 50s, just to win one soul to the Lord is like pulling teeth. And today, it is so easy. It's so easy in a sense. Look at our blessing campaign, which we just completed last weekend. We are in revival times. I was having lunch with several bishops and so forth, and this is the first time the National Council of Churches, the Evangelical Fellowship of Singapore, and Love Singapore, I represented Love Singapore in this lunch, and we're basically planning ahead, all right? Question, when was Singapore founded? Hello? Young people, when was Singapore founded? Who founded Singapore? So Stanford Raffles, in the year? 1819, that's right. So, pass. All right. So they're thinking 200 years, 2 years from now, 2019, we're going to plan a grand harvest event for Singapore. And originally, they wanted to plan it for next year, 2018, as 40 years from 1978. How many of you were saved in 1978 in the Billy Graham Crusade in Singapore? Wow. All right. I know some elders in Bethesda Katong, they were saved in 1978. It was in the old National Stadium. And it was very significant for Singapore. Very significant. So we're thinking instead of having in 2018, we have that in 2019. And next year, to cut the long story short, remember 2 years ago? Yeah, 2017. About 2 years ago, we had this Jubilee Day of Prayer, JDOP, at the Sports Hub. Where 50 over 1,000 Christians in Singapore gathered to pray. And we invited the Prime Minister. And apparently, from what I hear through the grapevine, this resonated and it's been talked about at the cabinet level. Wow. They can gather 50 over 1,000 Christians in Singapore. And we've been advised separately by MPs and certain ministers, we must do this on a regular basis. We must do this at least once in every 2 years. So in 2018, next year, on Children's Day, all right, we decided to get all the children, the family, and maybe get 500 couples or 1,000 couples, exchange vows, the children to pray for their parents. We pray for families, all right, and we say be fruitful and multiply, both physically as well as spiritually, leading them to the grand harvest. The local church, they get its act together, flowing with what the Holy Spirit is doing, is going to reap the greatest harvest. Yesterday, the Council of Elders met, and we just sort of saying we have a bit of a runway, and we're just planning maybe to tear down Hall 1, Hall 2, the Hallelujah Quadrant Atrium, all right, and rebuild and see whether how much we can maximize the gross floor area and build another auditorium that says 2,500, 3,000 or whatever, and have plenty more rooms because we will keep on growing. I don't know about you, but we're excited. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about souls being saved. I'm excited about packing up like the second service. We are about max, all right? About 700, 800 of us here in the second service. We are living in very exciting times. Early this week, just about 6 nights ago, I had dinner. I was invited by this missionary couple, Singaporeans who have been gone itinerary. They went to Fiji. And then this couple from Fiji came. He's the head of this theological seminary in Fiji. He says, can I come this July to Fiji? Because they're having an evangelistic healing crusade. I said, I can't. All right, my July calendar is packed. And then he's going to book me for another date. But to cut a long story short, he hits this denomination that has been over the years conservative. But in the recent 2, 3, 4 years, they've been learning how to pray for the sick. How to invite the presence of the Holy Spirit and seeing miracles and healing sweeping through. And this coming July will be another of those crusades. Another of those crusades. We are living in exciting times. To the islands, to the unreached peoples group, this is where we are in this season. Some of you have read and seen news, and I think I want to comment about this, about President Trump in the US. Okay? I know he's a man, he has got his idiosyncrasies, he tweets unnecessarily, he says things, his mouth is faster than the whatever. But putting all those things aside, we need to see it in the spirit. We walk by faith, not by sight. And ever since he inculcated biblical, Christian, kingdom values, stopping the Planned Parenthood, stopping the abortion, all right, and having prayer, the word that was given to him by the pastor at the church just before his inauguration, by Pastor Robert Jeffries. You can Google that and hear the whole message. And the word was given to him that he's like a Nehemiah, but he will have enemies. He will have the Sanballats, the Tobias, and Goshen, the Arabite. And who are they? Very clearly, the mainstream media. Very clearly, Hollywood. Very clearly, many more moles in the White House and so forth. Just about 2 days ago, I don't know whether you read the news, witches all over the world have been summoned to place a curse on him. Every hour, round the clock, 24/7. Therefore, you want to listen to news? Listen. Now, these are some of the obvious names you should listen to the news. Joel Rosenberg. All right, you heard about Joel Rosenberg. He wrote books about Israel and so forth. Michael Brown, who was here. Dr. L. Michael Brown. All right, listen to them. Dr. Lance Waunau. He was in Singapore 2 or 3 years ago for the Momentum Conference. All right, amongst others, to know what is happening in Washington, the White House, what is really happening in the spirit realm, the political realm. I don't know about you, but we're living in very exciting times. And therefore, we must go back to basics. Everybody read Mark 3, 14, 15. 1, 2, read. Then, this is meant for every disciple. I was asked to give a teaching to a parachurch organization. They only look at verse 14. Alright, that Jesus called the disciples to be with him and to preach the gospel. They ended there. Alright, teach us how to preach the gospel, how to disciple one to one. I say, why do you end at verse 14? Verse 14 is comma. He must go on to verse 15 and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out demons. Church, this is not just for the pastors or the leaders. This is for every disciple of Christ. And from this pulpit, we have taught you, and I'm going to repeat some of the stuff, to give us handles, what it means to heal the sick, what it means to cast out demons on a day-to-day, ongoing basis. The key to be an overcomer, no longer for ourselves. BBTC, we have reached another milestone, alright, and this blessing campaign has just confirmed that for the last 4 weeks, ending last weekend, that we have to be overcomer for others. We will stand in the gap for Singapore. We will be there for others in this nation where God has placed us. God has given us to those much has been given, much more is expected. So the Lord Jesus called the disciples to do these four things. And we're going to go into each of these in detail. Number one, to be with Him. To be with Jesus has everything to do with developing our personal relationship with Christ. And everything to do with developing our relationship in the body of Christ. Christ is the head of the church. We can say that we are connected with Christ and we are not connected with the body of Christ. Impossible. We can say it's very easy to praise the Lord, raise our hands, close our eyes, have a good time worshipping the Lord, singing to the Lord, but you can't stand that woman in the cell group. You know, every time she comes, she talks so much and she disrupts the unity of the cell group. She says this, that, and the other. You can't. 1 John 4:20. We cannot say we love God and hate that brother, that sister. And as we've learned, we are unable to love that irritating sister or that proud fellow who keep on set WhatsApping you all the videos of almost everything under the sun. I don't know about you, but I got some of this. We can only love because He first loved us, right? And we have learned, church, not that we love God. None of us can love God. 1 John 4:10, not that we love God, but that He loved us. Why? The source of love, the origin of love, the fountain of love comes from God. And therefore, we must first receive and experience the love of God. And then the love of God poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, Romans 5:5, that will enable us to love that irritating sister, that whatever we're going to call him. Alright? This is what it's all about. Related to the body of Christ. So the disciple must first be plugged in the body life. How? Number one, he must be born again. John 3:3 and John 3:5. You must be saved. You must have Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And when that happens, 1 Corinthians 12:13, the Holy Spirit will place you in the universal body of Christ. One of the items that we flash on the screen, when we give thanks for the bread, Lord, thank you that you wrote my name in the book of life. Thank you, Lord, that you place me now in the universal body of Christ. We are part and parcel of the universal body of Christ. Then this disciple must be a true worshipper. At the start of the year, we say that we must be a praise-empowered church. And what is a true worshipper? We learn to worship God in spirit and in truth, right? And we say that although we have the best worship team at the junction of Bedok North Avenue 3 and Bedok North Road, I don't know about you, we have the best singers, the best musicians, the best audio and visual crew. Everywhere I go elsewhere in Singapore, I come back here, this is still the best, alright? But the Lord reminds us, we place no confidence in the flesh. For the next 6 weeks, you will not see the musicians and the singers or the singers will be on the stage. The drums and all this will be on the ground. Because we're preparing ourselves for Good Friday. We're preparing ourselves for the Good Friday evangelistic drama, which I'll talk about in a moment. We lay no confidence in the flesh. Not in the ability to sing, not in this nice, beautiful auditorium and atmosphere. We learn to worship God in spirit and in truth. And therefore, we are to be a praise-empowered believer. Remember, in January, he said, may the high praises of God be upon our lips and the double-edged sword in our hands. We must be a people who continually have the praises of God upon our lips, connecting with God. And we walk through those steps, all right, in January. How to come into the presence of God. How to sense His presence. How to flow with the Spirit. How to go sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Next, the disciple must fill his life with the Word of God. This is not a suggestion. This is a command. Colossians 3:16. Let the Word of Christ dwell richly in you. Richly, abundantly, plentiful. And we have learned, church, don't feed on mere devotionals. Do your quiet time. Well, just read some devotional and that's it. Get into the Word. Get into the meat of the Word, the milk of the Word, the bread of the Word. And then in January, we talk about how to be a Word-empowered disciple. A Word-empowered disciple. How to wield the sword of the Spirit. And I thought we're going to talk about, in the midst of worship, you're wondering, in the midst of worship, out of the blue, fear grips you. What do you do? Alright? And as you've learned, the fear that grips you is the bird flying above your head. The bird flying above your head is the demon depositing thoughts of fear. Fear is two things. Fear is an emotion, and fear is a demonic spirit. Therefore, what do? Take the sword of the Spirit and whack him. Don't allow the bird to build a nest and to make his home in your head and in your life. Guys, maybe in the midst of worship, three-quarter way through, as you're closing your eyes and worshiping the Lord, His love, the song that we sang, what a beautiful name, and then a dirty, lustful picture comes into your mind. That picture is not what you intended to think or to imagine. It is deposited into you by the bird above your head. Remember I shared with you, I had this mentoring group with these six or seven pastors. I asked all them, alright, during worship, during your quiet times, do you have this kind of dirty, interrupting thoughts? Yes. Firstly, as a disciple, recognize the three sources of thoughts. Is it from the Holy Spirit? You know it's not. Is it from yourself at the point of time? No. Therefore, it comes from the evil one. So what do? Take the sword of the Spirit and whack that bird. Alright, I'm going to teach you how towards the end of the sermon. Resist, submit to God, resist the devil. Thus, we came across this group of young people from various churches. They're working together in this organization called Thus. And because we are a kingdom-minded church, we want to collaborate with them, we want to encourage them. During Valentine, they screened this video and they interviewed all these relatively older couples. Notice the words, relatively older. And it hit, from what I understand, 1.7 million hits, shares, likes on the social media. Even Joseph Schooling, when he won the gold medal from the Olympics, they did not hit those kind of numbers. Church, this is very significant. Because right now, there is a war that is going on to capture the hearts and the minds, especially of our young people. I'm going to show you the statistics in a moment. Capture the hearts and minds of our children, our youth, our 20s and 30s. And therefore, if you have not come across this, I want to encourage all of us. We want to support this organization called Thus. Okay? So, take out your phones. Everybody take out your phones. Alright? Go into the Facebook or the Twitter, the Instagram or the website. Just like, follow, share, do whatever you want. We want to multiply this and spread the word. Thus, as we understand, was created, is created, to disciple believers in the marketplace, all over Singapore. Alright? And because we are kingdom-minded, we want to come alongside them. So spread the word. Send it to your nephews and nieces. Send it to your friends, your classmates, your schoolmates. Everybody, you got it? Take a photo. Alright? And then spread the word. Next. I came across a young man. He took a 2 days leave. And during these 2 days, he had protracted time with the Lord. And he decided to read the entire Bible during these 2 days. And what helped him was he went into this website called The Bible Project. And this Bible Project is excellent. It covers from Genesis to Revelations. And in every book of the Bible, they give you a summary in video form. Alright, so we got something ready? Okay, good. Screen something.
The Gospel according to John. It's one of the earliest accounts of Jesus' life, and we learn at the end of the book that it comes from one of Jesus' closest followers, called the disciple whom Jesus loved. Now, he appears many times in the story itself, and there's some debate about whether it's John the son of Zebedee, one of the 12, or a different John, who lived in Jerusalem and was known in the later church as John the Elder. Whichever John it was, the book embodies his eyewitness testimony, and it's been brilliantly designed with a clear purpose that he states near the end. John says, the story is written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, and that by believing you may have life in his name. John believes that the Jesus you read about in this book is alive and real, and that he can change your life forever. The book's design is really cool. Its first half opens with an introductory poem and a short story that's followed by then a big block of stories about Jesus performing miraculous signs that generate increasing controversy. And it all culminates in his greatest sign, the raising of Lazarus, which creates the greatest controversy as Israel's leaders decide to kill Jesus. And that launches into the book's second half. These chapters focus on Jesus' final night and last words to his disciples, which are followed by his arrest, trial, death, and resurrection.
Okay, thank you very much. Cut. All right. So, this just to give a flavor, Google the Bible Project. In fact, I was challenging the youth and young adult pastors, maybe one of the Saturday evenings or whatever, get all the young people together and go through this together. Parents, friends, spread the word. This is an excellent tool. Today, we got all these tools, all these apps, and all these things to help us go through the Bible. Okay? Obviously, some of these things are not complete. It requires us to go back and study the Bible, but it gives us a good jump start to get into the Bible. The summary of each chapter of the book and the entire Bible. Okay? Fourthly, the disciple lives his life in continual surrender to God. Ongoing prayer communion. And we talk about the prayer-empowered disciple. Everything that we do in this church must be soaked in prayer. And in this church, we learn that we must pray before, during, and after. All right? I was asked by this pastor, how often do you pray corporately? I say once a month, W and I. But he didn't ask me further questions, all right? We say that in this church, we flock prayer. We don't flock a prayer meeting. Because a prayer meeting can be bottlenecked. You can't make it for that particular day, time, and hour. We flock prayer. Every day there is prayer in this church, hosted by a pastor, mid-morning, mid-afternoon, Monday through Fridays. Every Saturday, they gather at my place. Every service before, during, and after, we have various subgroups of intercessors praying. In this church, if you need prayer, you will get somebody to pray with you and for you. That is what we are ensuring. Every time at the altar, there will be people waiting to pray for you and with you. During the weekdays, I was just looking at Pastor Jason. Yesterday, he's going to go and conduct a funeral for a baby that's died in the womb of the mother. Every day, all right, we get calls. And this is church, and that's why we must equip the entire church, always prayerful, ministering to others. The philosophy of ministry in this church is in this diagram. Our first focus is God. There must be anointed worship. It's all about God. Anointed means spirit-led, spirit-enabled, spirit-empowered. Then from the pulpit, the word must bless you. You must be edified. You must have one or two take-homes every time you come to church. Then there must be the anointed altar. I just mentioned about that. Anointed leaders, pray for your leaders. The Council of Elders met yesterday. We're going to have about almost 300 leaders meeting in March, all right, for a three-day, two-night retreat. Anointed body life. There must be spiritual life flowing in every cell group, and anointed works of faith, which was very well demonstrated at our blessing campaign. I got this stacks of testimonies and news of what has happened. From things like going to Botanical Garden, to things to going to the construction workers in Ubi, to going to Changi Airport to take care of the cleaners and the helpers, all right, our people. Now we are moving to another stage, another level. Okay. Secondly, Jesus called the disciples to share the gospel. And to do so, we must understand what is the full gospel. Okay, everybody read Luke 4:18. 1, 2, read. The Spirit. This is the full gospel. We share the gospel. I'm going to talk in detail later on, which is why we have this RTF, all right, every quarter. The teach-in was two Saturdays ago. The ministry is next Saturday and Sunday, all right, for this almost slightly over 20 ladies and almost just under 20 men. We have this every quarter. To do what? To bring liberty to the captives, to bring sight to the spiritually blind, to proclaim and release those who are oppressed. Those who are hindered and weighed down by the baggage in their lives. So for those of you who have not, and then you're wondering what this is about, you may think of one or two issues, just come. Alright, sign up for the next one in the second quarter. I came across this statistic. As we know, in Singapore, every 10 years, there is a general census. But every 5 years, they have a mini census. So the last major census was 2010. There was a mini census in 2015. I want to highlight two things. Number one, the numbers for Christianity has dropped. Although small, but it's dropped. And the number of those with no religion has gone up. And especially amongst the young. Amongst the teens and the 20s and the 30s. God, what God? Make as much money as possible. Be as comfortable as possible. Enjoy life. The philosophy of life, the outlook of life is very, very different from those in the kingdom. We thank God we have 700-800 youths and young adults in this church. And even then, we must grow. Even then, we must build depth and breadth and disciple. I was meeting this group of pastors. We were just talking about youth ministry, young adults ministry. And what is the greatest challenge? I told them the first greatest challenge is that the youth must encounter God. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Our youth church, our young adult cell group and classes must be the most happening place. Because in the youth phase, this is when they're going through all the change. They are not children, neither are they adults. With all the hormonal change, therefore, if there is one major negative event, it will derail them. And it may derail some of them for many years to come. Whether it's a relationship issue, whether it's an absent father issue, whether it is a financial issue, a poverty issue, or whatever negative experience. And parents, help and come alongside. It is the responsibility of parents to disciple your children. The church is coming alongside you. We must build faith at home. And as we know, every one of us struggle. We all struggle with our children in one way or the other. And therefore, we must journey in this together. And in this church, we try. We try to have as many of these formal programs as possible. I'm aware of the mother's group. I'm aware of the marriage mentoring, marriage dialogue. All right, there's both the formal groups and the informal groups. I'm aware that some of you are mentoring some of the young girls and some young men, all right, and helping along them. We've got a rescue program, and so on and so forth. There are many things that's happening, all right? And this is body life. The formal, the informal, everybody coming together to reach out to each other. The Alpha program, you heard the announcement. The blessing campaign is over. You have made some contacts. Think of your colleagues. Think of your friends. Those who are a little more cerebral, those who have a little more questions, where is God? How do I know God is real? Aren't all religions the same? I got my own God. Get them to come. When you come for Alpha, remember DVD. Alpha is all about DVD. What is DVD? The first D is dinner. They all come together for dinner. Just chia, eat, alright? Dinner. V, then they watch a video. And after that, discussion. Dinner, video, discussion. Very simple, right? Okay, I don't know why the video does not talk, I don't know what. Very simple, alright? Think of the acronym DVD. Dinner, video, discussion. And come, invite your friends, okay? We have 56,760 recorded, alright? There are many, many more. I suspect there are a few thousand that's not recorded. To confess, I did not submit my numbers. This is exciting time. Last year, we started the blessing campaign for the individual because we want to equip every individual. This year, we focus on doing it in cell groups and clusters and tribes. And we said, what is the end goal? That it will be a lifestyle. Next year, hopefully, this becomes a movement. A movement where we infect and affect other believers in other local churches, that it becomes a movement. All right? Danny. If you've got a name that starts with D, Danny, Daniel. All right, these are very anointed names. Good Friday. All right, I was kidding around, all right? We're going to have a free show, a free rehearsal on the 1st of April. On the 1st of April, Saturday service, 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock, you're going to see the full rehearsal for free. So that after that, you will buy at least 10 tickets, all right, to invite your friends to come on Good Friday. Good Friday, we have two shows, 10:30 in the morning and 5 o'clock in the evening. And then the Saturday show is primarily geared for youths and young adults at 5 p.m. But adults can also come, okay? So come and watch this show. It's not about boxing, alright? It's a lot of blood. And this is very well scripted. And we have professionals that's coming alongside. We got real stuntmen, alright, that comes to advise us. Real one, okay? Where is their bread and butter? Who goes to Australia and the region and so forth, alright? And we got people from Mediacorp that are helping alongside to advise, to coach. So this is a high-level BBTC production, alright? Aided by many professionals. So don't miss out on Danny, okay? The disciple must know the source of his power. The source of our power is the Holy Spirit. And I was just having this testimony. Let me read a couple. There was this daughter who was very concerned for the salvation of her mother. The mother was in coma last year in 2016. And they were trying to find some opportunities where the mother is awake. She did not know when the mother is awake. So for her and the cell group, they will wait, all right, outside the ICU. And there was one moment the member stepped into the ICU and the daughter called the mother. Mom, wake up. Mom, wake up. Mom, wake up. And to her surprise, the mom actually wake up. Alright? The old lady opened her eyes and the daughter asked if she recognized her. Thank God, in this case, the mother did. I'm just recalling many with dementia, they don't even recognize their own sons and daughters. But in this case, she did. The gospel was shared and she was asked to blink her eyes 3 times to receive Jesus into her heart. This is cutting the whole long story short. And the mother did. And to the elation, to confirm her decision, we asked her to squeeze her daughter's hand. She did. We prayed for her and then we sang. And we noticed that her eyes were closed, and when we were singing, she lapsed back into coma. And that night, she went home to be with the Lord. A God moment. A God moment which is always available for the disciple who connects with the source of the Holy Spirit. And it's just, we're going to sing later on the closing song. It's about our walk with the Holy Spirit. He will prompt us, He will guide us. There's this man, alright, old man, alright, brought by the members of the family to a church. He even came to Alpha and he poo-poo Alpha. Okay? All these things doesn't impress me and so forth. Alright? The family continued to pray for him and love him. And just 1 or 2 years ago, with our senior citizens, they went on holiday. Alright? And at the holiday, every time at the start of the tour in the morning, they will pray. Committing the day to the Lord, the blood of Christ to line the route, the journey, the path, the steps that they take. And then somewhere during the day, this man, he normally sits at the back of the bus. He went to the front of the bus. He says, I do not know why, but there is a stirring in my heart. God is touching me. Please help me. Please help me to know this God. And to cut the whole long story short, that night in the lobby, they led him to receive Jesus as his Lord and Savior. Sharing the gospel. You are doing it. We are all doing it. And we must continue to encourage each other to do it. At the end of May, 3 months from now, there is going to be a Love Singapore Harvest event where we are getting David Colander. David Colander is the successor to Reinhard Bonnke. We're going to have this at the expo. Alright? We're going to announce to you the details later, and I already mentioned our ongoing bridge building activities this year and then the year end and then leading to the Grand Harvest in 2019. Consequently, the disciple must live his life always empowered by the love of Father God. I was talking to one brother. He says, now I'm beginning to understand why you want to attend 3 worship services when you're in town. Because every worship experience is different. So now he's attending 2 services. There was another brother, he's also now attending 2 services. He said, the songs are the same. But because during the worship, you are being recharged with the love of the Father. With the light of the Lord Jesus and the life of the Holy Spirit as we connect to God. The disciple must be aware that God has made him to be both a priest and a king. Okay, I'm going through this again. A reminder, Revelations 1, 5 and 6 reminds us he has made us to be kings and priests. Jesus is coming back as the King of Kings and the Lord of Kings and the King of Lords. We are kings and priests. And we must be very clear in our minds the distinct roles of priests and kings. As kings, we speak to the mountain. Speaking to the mountain is not speaking to God. Speaking to God is prayer as a priest. So as a priest, we pray all we want to pray. We pray before, during, after. We pray as long as you want. Alright, although we may pray a very long prayer for me today, more than the usual person who prays for me. Alright, every word is precious. Okay, doesn't matter. Prayer is a reflection of our relationship with God and our personalities. And our chonghiness or whatever, right? So as prayer, we can develop our prayer life. But as a king, we must learn to rebuke and command the mountain. And principally, there are three things ordinarily in the life of a disciple: demons, sickness, disease, and our situations. God wants us to take authority to cast out demons. And again, I want to repeat, this is not for the pastors and the leaders. This is for every believer in this sanctuary now. Everyone hearing this message. Everyone in this church. We are a disciple-making church. And what is the definition of a disciple? The definition of a disciple is that we are an effective priest and king. So every year we try to be more effective, alright? Which is why I go to the nations, to be more effective. Cast out demons. Luke 10:19. Jesus said, I give you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions. And he gave us two promises. Number one, to overcome all the power of the enemy. And number two, this is a promise you may find comfort. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. That means the devil cannot touch you. He cannot injure you. He cannot hurt you. This is the promise of the Lord. You combine this with 1 John 5:18. We are children of God, born under the blood. The devil cannot harm you. The devil cannot touch you. Okay? So he wants us all to do it. Luke 4:35, 36, he did it. Alright, he cast out the demons. And this is how we do it. Alright, remember you pray as a priest. Everybody read what's in the red box, alright? On the count of three. One, two, read. In. So I mentioned the example of the man during the midst of the worship. In the course of the day, if you're flirting with pornography, the lustful thought will come, the dirty thought will come. This is how you comment. I've shared in previous message how I overcame this, alright? How I was very exposed to pornography as a little boy and only had total victory to this day in the early 90s. When I realized there is a dirty, unclean, filthy spirit seeking to defile me. Am I tempted? All the time. Alright? Beautiful ladies, attractive persons, all the time. But right now what you do like what they play tennis. It's called the bounce. Alright? When the ball comes to you, the temptation comes, you just hit the ball, it bounces, it goes away. You see, but you don't see. That's how we practice it. That's how we overcome. And guys, we need to overcome this. Ladies, alright, fear. I mentioned about mothers. If fear comes that is beyond the usual basic concerns and cares for your husbands and your children, if fear grips you, fear of what's going to happen to them, fear for tomorrow, fear of not enough money, alright, fear of this, that and the other, water prices is going to be increased, whatever percent, okay, ERP is being erected here, then now from now you go to work, you're going to pay a lot more per day and times how many days a month. So we are gripped with all kinds of fears for tomorrow. This is how we deal with it. The Christian life ought to be free, calm, cool, collected, composed, centered in Christ. The easiest enemy to overcome is the devil and spirits. And by the way, we are dealing with the lowest level. We don't deal with principalities and powers. Who deals with principalities and powers? Angels. As God sent Michael to go and whack the spirit over Persia and Greece, alright, all we need to do, like this witchcraft thing I mentioned about Trump, did I mention about that just now? Alright, let's pray. In the mighty name of Jesus, we have three spiritual weapons, remember? The mighty name of Jesus, we're saying what a beautiful name, what a powerful name. The name of Jesus, number two, the blood of Jesus is our spiritual weapon. And thirdly, the sword of the Spirit which you've been taught. The sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Okay, secondly, rebuking sickness and disease. The scripture, Luke 4:39. Jesus went into Peter's mother-in-law's house. The her here is Peter's mother-in-law. He rebuked the fever. Did Jesus pray? Yeah, he prayed earlier on. Now, as a king, he commands. He rebuked the fever. That means you address the fever. You don't pray anymore. You already prayed to God as a priest. Now, as a king, you rebuke the fever. All right? Everybody read what's in the red box. One, two, read. In. And I already explained last week, all right, is that I wanted to whack and hammer a hole into the wall, all right? You may take 30 whacks and nothing appears to happen. By the 31st whack, you see a hairline crack. And by the 40th whack, then you can punch a hole into the wall. And we say that every whack is not wasted. Every whack at the wall weakens the structure of the wall. Every time we command as a king, we weaken the structure of the germs, bacteria, virus affecting the person. Every time we command as a king, we loosen the grip of the demonic, of the fear, or the lust on the person. Now, we must settle this. In our Singapore minds, because we've got instant coffee, instant this, that, and the other, sometimes we wish it to be instant. No, it doesn't happen that way. Alright, I pull a muscle on my right leg, I wish it's instantly healed, it's being healed. Alright, I'm 75% better, I'm praying that before I leave on Thursday, it will be 100% better. Alright, that's what Jesus says in Mark 16, you should lay hands and they will recover. Recover means it takes time. Sometimes hours, sometimes it takes days. Alright, hopefully it is ASAP compared with the natural time that it is required. Thirdly, we take authority over the environment. The scriptures in Matthew 21:19 about the fig tree. Jesus cursed the fig tree, it withered. Okay? And then in Mark 4:39, he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, he said to the sea. He did not pray. He already prayed earlier on. He spoke to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. Since 1994 until today, when I came back from Nigeria, from the children's church all the way to the senior citizens, we have learned. Every time you want to go to Labrador Park, East Coast Park, Pasir Ris Park for outdoor events, every time you want to have a barbecue, the recent one was a recent youth church, all right, where they have barbecue. Remember January, it was raining a fair bit. We pray there'll be no rain. So what do? We say, in Jesus' name, I speak to you, rain clouds, go away from this place. You can rain anywhere else, but in this ground is sanctified by the name of Jesus. And I do this all the time. My sons do this all the time when they have barbecues. See, church, the Lord has given us an authority over the elements. I've already given the stories about the other places. Go and read John Bevere's book entitled Relentless. Go and Google. John Bevere's book, Relentless, where he talked about the fire that was raging in Colorado Springs. And they were praying, alright, and he just flew back from an assignment. And then they were commanding the fire will not cross the major highway. It will not come across this whole residential area and burn up. The wind direction changed, the fire gradually died wherever it was. Alright, it's all descripted. When I was DGS Dinakaran has passed away, the Billy Graham of India, I went to Ranchi. Alright, I just wanted to see what a gospel crusade for 300,000-400,000 people looked like. They walked fields and rolling plains, all right. And in the crusade, of course, it's in mid-afternoon, 3:30, 4 o'clock, and you see that. And there was rain clouds coming. I saw Paul Dinakaran, the son of DGS Dinakaran, literally stood there. We pray. I was sitting at the back. I was there to do the pastor's training, and there I was sitting at the back and watching the rain, dark clouds coming. And there he was. We prayed, and then he commanded, and literally see the cloud move nearer first, and then splitted one to the left and one to the right. Now, this is just not for pastors and leaders. It's for ordinary disciples in our homes, all right? The skills, of course, are different, all right? The dimension is different, but God wants us to do that. This is about those of us who travel a fair bit. And recently, there was a lady who wrote to me and said that 2-3 years ago, when she was in the U.S., she stayed in Marriott Courtyard, all right? And she said that because of summer, she was awakened at 4 a.m. And she saw an old couple, all dressed up. And obviously, what is an old couple doing in her room? Now, I don't know why she managed to see, alright? And I said, what did you do? She obviously, there was fear, she was scared. She prayed, alright, and muttered and somewhere in the... See, sometimes we don't have our words perfect. That in the name of Jesus, get out of the room. And this old couple quickly, almost just walked past the bed and out of the room. I remember a group who went to Japan 2-3 years ago. Stayed in some hotel, in some village somewhere, and they saw this samurai, can't remember the details, alright? The same thing. God has given us authority, and that's what I do. Whether I go to Togo, Gabon, Senegal, Romania, India, China, take authority over your room. You do not know who previously occupied that place. That's why we do house cleansing, house blessing. Alright? I mean, we kid around about buying a haunted house because it's cheaper, but that's real. That's real. Okay? Everybody read what's in the red box. One, two, read. In. Of course, this is what I pray. I pray for wisdom, peace, anointing, you know, as I prepare and so on. Pray for whatever you want to pray. That you have a good time, all right? You enjoy the spa, the outings, the food, and so forth, okay? We talk about this in January, that we need to pray for the salvation of our loved ones. And as we invite people for Alpha, we invite people for the evangelistic drama. Ask God for a word of knowledge. Ask God, what is it specifically that has blinded them spiritually? For some of them, your colleagues, for example, they'll say Christians are hypocrites. Why? Because they're probably hurt. They're probably offended. They're probably disappointed by the Christian boss or the Christian colleague or Christian supplier. Pray that they'll be healed. Pray that they'll experience the love of God. And that may be your father, your mother, your sister, your relative. Alright? We need to bind the strong man that has caused the spiritual blindness. And we must combine this with the methodology of sharing the gospel. And the methodology is in Luke chapter 10, verse 5 to 9. Okay? Everybody read. One, two, read. But. Okay, so from this passage, Jesus gives us five handles. The first handle, he says, look for a man of peace. Who is a man of peace? A man of peace is someone receptive to you. I remember 30 years ago, I was very stressed. Whenever you travel, share the gospel, alright? Sometimes you're so tired when you fly, then nobody sit here. I want to sleep. Alright? But over the years, I've learned to go with the flow. If the person is chatty and so forth, wants to chat, I remember this Chinese national, alright, how he chatted about this, that and the other, and then share with him the gospel. He's never heard of the gospel, never heard of Jesus, and let him to pray the sinner's prayer. Okay? There are some occasions where nobody wants to say anything, everybody keep quiet, that's fine, the whole flight. Go with the flow. A man of peace is someone receptive to you. Invite your friends, your colleagues. If they come, they're receptive to you, fine. Of course, you must be creative and exciting. You know, you got to come for Alpha. Have you heard of Alpha? We're going to do DVD. The kind of thing, you know. Be creative. Buy the fella lunch, buy the fella dinner, and invite, okay? And secondly, bless the person. Say peace to his house. God has given us authority and power to release his shalom into non-Christian homes. What more about our own homes, our own desks, our own places of work, our own neighborhood? We got authority and power. Okay. Thirdly, is this fellowship with him. Eat and drink with him. That means connect with him. Durian season, I hear, is starting again. Alright? It has arrived. It has come. Alright? We eat and drink with him. Fourthly, meet the felt need. Heal the sick. Now, church, we have learned. The principle for healing for Christians is different from the principle for healing for non-Christians. For Christians, it is James 5:16, which is why we do RTF. Confess your faults, your sins, your foibles, your weaknesses, your baggage, the root causes. Alright? And then go into the body of Christ to pray to be healed. But for non-Christians, God wants to demonstrate that He is God. And He's given you an anointing to pray and that He will heal them. And they will recover. Both in Mark 16 and Luke 10, two promises. Heal the sick there. Luke chapter 10 is in the context of Jesus sending the 72 town to town, city to city, home to home. I remember in Romania and Moldova, alright? In those cases, that we visit the farmers. And what do? Oh, my pigs are not doing well. Or the cows are not doing well. Or the chickens are not doing well. You pray for the pigs and the cows and the chicken. You pray for whatever is the family. Or the guy is out of a job. You pray for the families. And finally, how come your God answers? Share the gospel of the kingdom of God. I want to end this message back to this basic verse, the call to discipleship. He appointed the 12 that they might be with Him. God, the Lord Jesus wants all of us to be with Him. He wants all of us to grow strong spiritually. Okay? And pay attention to the word. This New King James Version, word for word translation. Then he might send them out to preach and to have power. We cannot go out on our own to heal the sick and cast out demons because we got no power of our own. At the end of March and sometime in April, I'm going to talk about spiritual authority and power. There are different Greek words. Kratos, dunamis, energies, and so forth. All right? God has given us spiritual authority and power. But how to have power? You have to go back to be with Him. To be with Him. And specifically, the power is in the Holy Spirit residing in you and me. We are temples of the Holy Spirit. Back to Romania, Moldova, there was one house where the pipes have not been changed yet. All right, you turn on the tap, the water just dribbles down. All right, that trickles down. Why? The water pipe is probably, I don't know, 100 years old, 200 years old, linked all the way to the reservoir or the river. Inside the water pipe is rusted, there may be a dead rat, there may be mud, stones, and whatever that has come through the water pipe. Why? The pressure has been reduced by all the obstacles. Then they start changing the pipe. Instead of cleaning out the pipe, cut, put a new pipe. Connect to the tap, connect to the reservoir. Now, there's no hindrance in the pipe. Well, the water gushes forth. High pressure. The water pipe is the water pipe of our hearts. We are the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is always there. There is power, inherent power, latent power, residing in every disciple, every believer. But it is not manifesting. Why? For some of us, fear. For some of us, unbelief. For some of us, anger. For some of us, wrong theology. Wrong theology, the secessionist doctrine. For some of us, our backgrounds. For some of us, bad experiences with your previous church, with your previous pastors or your previous elders. For some of us, our environment was not conducive. But no more. The Lord wants us to arise and to have power. Power to heal, power to cast out demons. This is the call to discipleship. The call for every one of us to hear the word of God clearly, to hear the call very clearly, and to respond to the call. Let's stand as we close in prayer. Father, we thank you again for your word. Father, we just rejoice and we are so gratified by your great love for us that you gave your only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are our Savior, our Redeemer. And we thank you that you were crucified, you died, you rose again, and you gave us the Holy Spirit. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you dwell in each one of us. You're speaking to us. You're stirring our hearts. You are moving our spirit to respond to the living Word of God. And with every head bowed, some of you here have never in your mind thought about casting out demons. Some of you here have never thought or entertained the idea of laying hands on the sick to heal the sick. This is so alien to you. But today you have heard the word of God. Today you've heard the word of God. It is so clear that this is the call to discipleship. This is the call to follow Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. And that if there is fear, there is trepidation, there are concerns, there are anxieties, understandable. But the Lord has spoken to you, and you say, this day will be a significant day in your walk with God. You will arise and respond to the call of discipleship. To grow strong spiritually, to be with the Lord, and to have His power released in your life. With a new courage, a new boldness to cast out demons, to release the oppressed in the lives of people, to be a disciple, to be an overcomer for others. If this is you, with every head bowed, would you raise your hand? Say, Lord, I will heed your call. Would you raise your hand? Lord, I will heed your call. I will no longer cower in fear. Lord, I will heed your call to be with you, to follow you,
and learn what it means to heal the sick and to cast out demons. I will be hot for you. Yeah, I see several heads. Who else in the gallery? You put your hands down. And for those of you who have raised your hands, I want to invite you, would you leave your seats and just come to the front. Nobody will pray for you. I want you to leave your seats because this is an act of courage and boldness that you mean something with God. Just come. Says, Lord, here am I. I want to give myself to you afresh. A fresh consecration. A fresh submission to the Lord. A fresh desire to know the Holy Spirit who will help you. And if for some of you, you have been sharing the gospel, you've been attempting to heal the sick and cast out demons, but you say you face problems from time to time, and perhaps you know there is more. There's more of what the Lord wants to do in and through you. And if this is you, also come. Just respond to the Lord. And as you come to the front, just close your eyes. Open your hands before the Lord. And just pray and commit yourself to Him. Rededicate yourself to Him. The Lord is calling for disciples. The Lord is calling for men and women of God. The Lord is calling for men and women who will make a difference. Make a difference. Make a significant difference in the lives of people who cross your path. Our lives here is short. 70 years, 80 years, 90 years, our lives here is short. But what we do in this life will impact for the whole of eternity. Anyone else? Those at the back, those in the gallery. This is a sacred moment. Who else? For the Lord to release a new level of anointing, authority, and power. So what we're going to do now, we are all going to worship the Lord. Pay attention to the words. This is your prayer to the Lord. This is your connecting with God. We're going to worship the Lord now.
I want to know the one.
Tell the Lord, yes.
Spirit, I love you. You kill me.
online after me. Father God, I thank you for loving me so deeply. I give my heart to you. I thank you, Jesus, for loving me, for being my Savior, my Deliverer, my Healer, my Tower of Refuge. I submit to you. You are my Lord and Master. I commit every area of my life to you, Lord. Teach me to obey you, to submit to your word, to live my life under the authority of scriptures. I thank you, Holy Spirit. You are the gentle Holy Spirit. I carry your presence. My life is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Lord, forgive me for grieving you. Lord, forgive me for quenching you. Help me to move significantly this day onwards to be aware, to be conscious, to be vigilant of your presence in my life. And as you help me to see and recognize divine appointments, divine connections. Help me to be an overcomer for these people that you bring into my life. So I yield myself to you. I thank you. I already have all the authority, all the power that I need to do whatever I need to do in total dependence on you. And so I give you thanks, committing myself to you in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody says, Amen. Give him praise. Yes.